Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
NBC News Radio. I'm Brian Shook. The House Select Committee investigating last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol says former President Trump has refused to comply with a subpoena requiring him to appear for a deposition. In a statement Monday, the January 6th panel noted Trump's attorneys made no attempt to negotiate an appearance. Three University of Virginia football players are dead after a shooting. They were all killed yesterday by former football player Christopher Darnell Jones Jr., who has since been caught by police. Two others were also injured in the shooting. Federal investigators in Texas have been hampered by heavy rains in their attempt to find clues to the weekend mid-air crash of two vintage planes. The NTSB's Michael Graham says they will also be going over copies of the communication between pilots.
We just received the recording, so it is being processed right now and looked at by our investigative team.
Graham said they were able to recover an electronic flight display from one plane and a GPS unit from the other. Health officials in California are reporting the state's first death of a child under 5 years old due to the combined effects of the flu and RSV. John Bernaysi reports.
To protect patient privacy, the California Department of Public Health is not releasing any details about the death, including where it happened. With RSV, flu, and COVID-19 spreading, health officials are urging parents to get their kids a flu shot and COVID vaccine if they're eligible. There is no vaccine for RSV yet. The combined threat of all three is being dubbed a triple-demic. Care centers are also being told to find ways to expand capacity so there's more room for the children, which are expected later this season.
The UN is calling an emergency session as protests in Iran reach their 60th day. The protests stem from the death of a 22-year-old woman while in Iranian police custody for allegedly violating the Islamic Republic's strict dress code. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Car Recycling and Kingman would like to recognize and salute our veterans and local men and women in uniform. Let's remember them with our thoughts, prayers, and especially letters and packages from home. Remember our fallen heroes. This message, courtesy of Car Recycling at 3800 East Andy Devine in Kingman. Call Car Recycling at 928-757-9888. That's 928-757-9888. That's where Trish and the staff are wishing everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
Open for takeout and delivery, El Tapioc Mexican Food Restaurant in the Tri-City Center of Redlands is back. Their entire family is on hand to serve up their delicious burritos, machaca, chorizo, huevos rancheros, steak and eggs, just part of their mouth-watering great food. Since 1531, people have marveled at the miracle of El Tapioc, and now you can marvel at the great food the Lugo family has been serving up for over two decades, nestled quietly in the corner of the Tri-City Center Shopping Mall next to Burlington Coat Factory. Support them. They can't wait to serve you some of their delectable, authentic, south-of-the-border Mexican fare at great prices, served up with love. Support the area's best-loved Mexican food restaurant in these tough times. Order up a tasty meal on the phone for delivery or takeout for breakfast, lunch, or dinner from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Call 909-307-0017. That's 909-307-0017. Or Google El Tapioc Redlands and treat yourself.
This segment is brought to you by the all-new Lafferty Communities Homes and their brand-new community opening in Yucaipa. Their showcase home, Ascend at Mountain Gate, is opening Saturday, October the 8th at 10 a.m. This Yucaipa new home community is located at 34663 Cadota Street. That's 34663 Cadota Street, and is surrounded by the beautiful foothills of the San Bernardino Mountain area. Tour the Residence 4 home with 3,570 square feet of living, 4 bedrooms, a home office, and 3.5 beds. This home features designer finishes, a gourmet kitchen, a tech room, a loft, and a primary spa bath with a walk-in closet. Ascend at Mountain Gate offers 47 single-family homes with choice of two-story or single-story plan. There are large home sites available that will accommodate a pool and RV parking. Tours are available Thursdays through Mondays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can call today at 909-588-7420. That's 909-588-7420. Or LafertyCommunities.com. That's LafertyCommunities.com. At 34663 Cadota Street in Yucaipa. See you this Saturday at Ascend Homes at Mountain Gate in Yucaipa.
Laura Holpert from Team Integrity Realty reminds listeners to salute all of our U.S. military veterans for the sacrifices they've made. It's because of our veterans that we enjoy the freedom that we have today. Please consider donating to a legitimate charity that helps veterans, such as Gary Sintz Foundation. It's a great way to give back to the people who have done so much for our community. This reminder, courtesy of Laura Holpert from Team Integrity Realty, serving our community with pride and integrity. For more information on services provided, call 951-704-4635. That's 951-704-4635. That's Laura Holbert from Team Integrity Realty on the air because they care.
This is KCAA.
It's your favorite show? Download the podcast at kcaaradio.com.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. There's no nothing come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it.
With I Love San Bernardino, County Radio Show on KCAA NBC 106.5 FM, 102.3 FM. I'm sorry, 10:50 AM. We got rid of the 102.3 FM, so now we're just 10:50 AM and 106.5 FM. And we will talk politics, culture, and history today. I feel kind of weird because I got my computer in front of me. I'm feeling all professional today. Today we have a candidate for San Bernardino Mayor, Helen Tran, in the house. So maybe we could pull your microphone over too. We were doing the backyard gossip and we didn't get to get our microphones ready. But before we jump into this great conversation, I have to remember to say the things I need to say. So first of all, We'll mention our sponsors first. Our sponsors today are Celebrities Bar and Grill on 40th Street. Max Zaire and Zoe do a lot in our community to try to help San Bernardino throw Halloween events, have feedings out in front, help Cajon High School. And they're really good people. And he's also interested in maybe putting lights down 40th Street. So we've been having meetings and things like that, like permanent white lights. But what I've noticed as a former construction worker is that there's like diagonal street lights that are like 200 feet diagonally apart. So it's almost impossible to do hanged lights. So what we'd have to do is help with the city's help, actually put the poles in a few closer with solar lights on them. So there's no electrical needed, just the pole and actually place augering it in. Cutting the cement, augering it in there, and placing them closer together so we can actually string lights. And I'm hoping maybe Sam and Will would be interested in this as well, because that will be the new gateway area, not only to the mountains, but to the Arrowhead Springs Resort. So I'm sure they're going to want nice restaurants and stuff on 40th Street. So this is just what I see in the future. I'm hoping that that will eventually come to pass. So we're starting to lobby and have meetings about it. And hopefully Max gets what he wants. But maybe just before Christmas, we could just ask the businesses on 40th to put up Christmas lights. You know, maybe Stater Brothers could do a little Christmas cheer over there, and maybe some of the individual businesses, and they could be mixed up at first, and we'll work towards the goal of something that looks more like State Street in Redlands or the Gas Lamp District down in San Diego. Somewhere nice where you can go and dine and see cool lights and, you know, just really feel pride in San Bernardino. I also like to mention our sponsor, Fire Mariscos over on Court Street. Really good people over there. They invited me last week, and so I grabbed my mama, went over there, and they had the volcanhete. It's just like it's like all this crab, mussels, fish, and shrimp, and in like this wonderful salsa inside of a molcajete, like baked. So hot that it's boiling off of there, right? It was so good that I didn't even notice that there was a crab claw sticking out of it till I watched the video later. And as I was doing my post and everything, my mama snuck that crab claw right out of there and ate it. And I didn't even know. I was like, what happened to that crab claw, mama? She's like, I don't know. I just ate it. Her face was so happy in the video. If you guys see it online, she was really enjoying that volcanhete. It's named after a volcano, so and molcajete together. So very cool. They have great tacos there too, and mariscos, of course. So go on and visit them. They're open from 12 to 10 p.m. And you're a customer there as well, right, Helen?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, they got good food. So go on and visit them on Court Street right there and help support local businesses. I'd also like to mention that our community dump day, the last one for the year, is November 19th at Paris Hill Park, 1135 East Highland Avenue. And the City of San Bernardino residents may drop off unwanted items such as appliances, mattresses, tires, furniture, tree limbs, and electronic waste. This is for household refuse only. Bring a driver's license or gas, electric, water bill to show your proof of residency. No hazardous materials, no construction materials, and no commercial vehicles. And say you got a pothole, you got some graffiti, say you have a lot of trash about your area and you need it to get it cleaned up. So how do I request city services? So you can go online to sanbernardinocity.org/SB Access and report it there. Or right on the front of the website right there, it will say mobile app. So you can download, you can go to the mobile app on your phone and download that and go SB City. And you open the app and select your issue, take a picture, and send it in. Now, I've done this on our street, and they got it fixed in like 2 days. I was just talking with Councilman Juan Figueroa, and he actually runs around, right, San Bernardino, and goes around and takes pictures of the different things and sends them in. Sandra Ibarra walks around her neighborhood in the second ward and does similar things. So I think that's awesome. We should be doing the same thing. How are they going to know about that pothole in your community or in your area or in your neighborhood if we do not tell them about it? This is 64 square miles of San Bernardino. It's huge. There's a lot of things that need a little bit of loving. So we got to turn them in so they can go and know to fix them. And a massive props to our graffiti team. They are always out there working their butts off, getting that graffiti off, and I really do appreciate them very much. You can also call in 909-384-7272 Monday through Thursday and turn it in. Just call them, call the city, be like, hey, I got to report this. Please come out here and take care of it. And they usually are pretty quick about getting it done if possible. Now, if it's a big thing like putting lights down 40th, it might take a while. I have been working a long time. I'm getting the center divider down. It's where they put the plants and stuff and the lights on Valencia, between Highland and 30th Street. I've been working on that for a while as my I'm president of Valencia Neighborhood Association. And we have a meeting on Wednesday at Denny's at 6 o'clock, by the way. We're trying to get that fixed. Councilman Damon Alexander is working on it very hard. And hopefully Public Works is going to get that work, you know, going within the next year. I hope, please, because it's all dirt in it. Like, they did fix the lights, So that's a positive aspect of it. But the, you know, it looks kind of looks a little trashy. So hopefully we'll get that fixed coming up. All right. I'd like to mention the turkey trot that we're going to have on November. Is that 26th or 25th? Thanksgiving?
Thursday,
yeah. On Thanksgiving Day morning.
24th.
The 24th. Thursday, 24th, Thanksgiving Day. Now, if you want to register for that, go to my personal profile on Facebook, or I also post it on Instagram. Go through there and find the Turkey Trot. And it's sbturkeytrot.com if you just want to go to it and register for it. And they go out there in the morning, and they run around, and they have. In fact, I have pictures of you. I just saw the pictures of you and your family from last year. So tell us about the turkey trot. Did you have fun?
Always, and I've done it with my daughter actually almost every year, except for the one year we had the pandemic year. I think it was 2019. But my husband and the two boys, they'll all join my daughter and I last year. So we're gonna make this a family affair every year, and it's fun. It's early in the morning before you start having your turkey dinner or turkey lunch.
And do the turkey dance out there. And I have you beat because I was there for the pandemic one. But I've been involved in every turkey trot and been MC. And this year, me and Damon are going to MC it together and have a good time. We'll have, there's always some dancing before. Yep. What do they call that? Zumba. They have the Zumba before, and we have a DJ, and they used to have a photo booth. It's fun. It's family fun. So register and come on out and get these shirts that literally last forever. I think I still have every shirt except the first year because they did cotton. But the other shirts are like this synthetic material that just lasts. I feel like I still have them all in my wardrobe. I'm like, Lord, this turkey trot this day, this turkey trot for this day.
Don't forget the medals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they all, everyone gets a medal if they register. So Felicia Alexander and Damon Alexander work very hard on this, and it's a very incredible event. So go over there Thanksgiving morning and lose some calories before you gain some calories. I might be eating 3 or 4 turkey dinners. You never know, team. All right, now we're done with all of that. We have a candidate for San Bernardino mayor, Helen Tran, on for the second time. She won her primary, did very well, and now she's coming up for the general election, which is tomorrow. So what do you have to say to San Bernardino?
Woo, 24 hours. San Bernardino gets to elect their next mayor, and I'm extremely excited because I know that the city is ready for new leadership, new change, and to move the city forward effectively. And, it's really, really important, everyone, because I have to tell you, since Friday, we've been following the ballots return ballots. And since Friday, of the 103,000 ballots that are out there, only 8,900 ballots have been returned. So that's 9%. And so we really need to show up because the local level elections are the direct impacts to our daily lives, to our families, and all of us. So please get out there and vote. It's very, very important. And
so you can you can grab your ballot right now, right?
Yes.
Fill it out. Get it in the mail tomorrow, right?
Postage is paid for. You have ballot boxes out there that you could drop off, or if you want to make sure that it's there, you could drop it off at the registrar's county registrar's office at 777 Rialto.
Okay.
So,
but you still have time. You can put it in as long as it's postmarked by tomorrow. Not after. Tomorrow's a day, so you have to get it in the mail tomorrow. And those will get counted not the same day. It will take a little while for those to get counted. And we've seen that in the past where Sandra Barrow went from losing the second ward to winning the second ward. So, get those – every vote counts, team. They really do. Before we jump into the politics and everything, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family that you're raising here in the city of San Bernardino.
Certainly. I've been growing up in San Bernardino since 6 years old. I'm a daughter to refugee immigrants from Vietnam who came to this country due to the war, and they left their own country by foot from South Vietnam through Cambodia to Thailand. I share that story because if my parents never united at the Thailand camp, I would not be here speaking to you because they got sponsored to the U.S. in 1981. I was born in 1982, And we were actually encouraged by a family friend of ours to move to San Bernardino just because we were not in a very safe part of San Diego, El Cajon area. And we began our life in San Bernardino in 1988. I was 6 years old, did not speak English, attended Arrowhead Elementary School, Golden Valley, Cajon High, where I met my amazing husband, senior year at Cajon High. And we have three kids. We're raising in this city in the Fifth Ward and bought our first home in 2014. So, again, we're no strangers to the city. We are homegrown here.
And there's a vibrant Vietnamese community here in the city of San
Bernardino. Yes, there is.
A lot, some of my best friends I went to high school with, they were just like, they were more San Bernardino than I was, man. And they really took me in. And, I can remember my first experience eating a lobster at my friend's house. Like, they actually had caught them off the pier down in Huntington. Like, they really showed me what it's like to get your own stuff. They had their own food and stuff. So, I took that in. And, now I have – my whole garden is a huge – of tropical paradise of foods that I saw them have first. So, I appreciate you, Tam, Tuan, Lisa. You really had a great influence on me. San Bernardino is a melting pot of all different cultures from all around the world, and that's why we got such great food, team.
100%. Yes. I totally agree with that.
That's probably why I got a ponzón growing right now. All the great food in San Bernardino. So you met your husband in high school. Worked with the city of San. You had some jobs before that, right?
I did, and you know what? I would have to say because in high school I was very involved in community service. So a key club Kiwanis for the adults, so key club for more of the youth. And I have to say I got exposed to politics when we walked into a campaign office in 1999, a special congressional campaign. And as a key clubber, just for civic engagement to understand what that looks like, right? But I walked into office and I met mentors who actually worked in politics and showed us what that looks like and being civically engaged and canvassing and walking neighborhoods to elect leaders in communities whether you're trying to address an issue in a community. So I got exposed to that and never thought that was going to come back around and really help me because it was just something that I did throughout high school, throughout college years. And I returned back home in 2006 and ended up working for City of San Bernardino as the secretary to the HR director. And fast forward 10 years later, became the youngest director in the city. And saw a lot during my time there, 14 years.
She saw me speaking, I'm sure, a lot of times. But she was more quiet for sure because, in the city meetings, that's everything they do with the council members and the mayor and not the people watching from the sidelines. But we all appreciate your hard work in there. And you left the city of San Bernardino. Now you're working in...
I do work for another city, so I continue my work in human resources risk management for the city of West Covina, director. So I almost 20 years of government experience. So I'm no stranger to what it takes to really help run a city as a fellow director, work with city managers and other directors and chiefs. So coming back as becoming the next mayor would not be a difficult.
If you won, then you get rid of that commute.
Yes, I would. I would get rid of that commute.
Throw it away, man. Oh man, those are some of the worst freeways going that way. But that's awesome. So you would have to leave your job. It would be a transition, and you would transition. And so you actually, if you win mayor here at San Bernardino. You'll get installed in January, correct? The first meeting in January?
I believe it's December. But again, once we know the results in 24 hours, we'll
get
more. It's my understanding. But I will know more. We will know more once we know the results tomorrow.
Okay. All right. And then there'll be a transition time where Valdivia will, still be mayor for a little bit. It doesn't happen automatically. When you vote, there's a transition time. And then – There'll be a formal ceremony and things like that, right?
So once the election is, you know, it's over tomorrow, then the county needs to certify the results. So they have until December 8th. So we'll know by December 8th the certification of the results, and then the swearing in would happen. So I would assume it would be the second meeting in December, December 21st. Once you, you know, the next mayor gets sworn in, then the current incumbent would have to.
So you know, team, like it doesn't happen right away. You know, Penman or Tran will not immediately be mayor.
Correct.
Valdivia still has a little time in there. And, you know, he's been decent in the meetings. He hasn't been too bad. I think he's kind of resolved to his fate. And, you know, he'll be moving along here soon, team. He'll be moving along soon. Now, if you do win and it all goes as to plan, what will be your first kind of moves you make?
Well, once I go in, we need to pretty much get ourselves acclimated into the organization and making sure that, you know, working closely with the council, see where things are at, and just making sure that we continue to conduct business to keep progress moving forward with the city. We have a lot of work to do as far as, you know, the issues that we're facing. We have a public safety crisis. We have a homeless crisis. We have a housing crisis. And all of the, you know, we have the Oxbow Pile and the Fifth Ward. We have downtown that we have to address. I mean, there's a laundry list of things to do. So just to see, going in, see where things are at, the statuses, working with the city manager, the council, making sure, okay, where we're at with things and can keep things moving. So we can try to check them off the list one at a time.
Yeah, Oxo's it's been there a long time.
It has been.
Yeah, and they just couldn't seem to get past that four-vote threshold, and Valdivia kept vetoing it. So if there is a change, then they might be able to fix that problem.
We need
there.
To conduct business.
Yeah.
So we need to get to the issue and weigh the pros and cons. What's going to be the best option to really address it and move on? Let's get to business.
And I have to admit, team, I've been up there a lot of times, and I've seen the dust, and I understand the process of reintegrating cement into fill. As an archaeologist, they did that all the time, but not from a fire in an Amazon warehouse facility where all these chemicals and stuff burned onto that stuff, right? So I don't think that's a good idea at all to be putting that into our water table and stuff. So it's time to probably move that stuff out, and maybe can we ship it back to that the owner of the Amazon? Oh, you don't have to answer that. But it would be nice to get that out of there and make that community happy, and we can still develop those properties. They can haul in fresh dirt from other projects, and you know, maybe that team doesn't really want development there, but I'm sorry. You know, property owners own their land, and eventually there's probably going to be a few houses there. But right across the way, it's like National Park, right? So don't complain too bad. You can still go right up that trail. Have you gone up that trail before? 2N49, I believe it is. Oh, it's a cool hike. And if you can hike up it, it goes right along a stream system. Or if you got a 4x4, you can drive up it all the way up. And eventually you can go up and over the hill and down, and it leads down into Silverwood Lake. So it's a really incredible 4x4. And then if you want to hike, you can hike up that one and, you know, figure out your spot where you've done enough hiking and walk back. And me and Amy have done it a couple of times. We've seen like gopher snakes and all kinds of rabbits and squirrels and wildlife, birds, hawks, you name it. It's up there, deer. So it's a really beautiful spot. And I suggest all of you take the time to enjoy our trail system and yes. Some of these 4x4 trails. Like get out there, get into nature. It just resets your brain. Does. Me and Amy just did a nice little hike behind Cal State San Bernardino in the mm-hmm. Badger Canyon. And, you know, I always say we went to the nudist colony, right? And, you know, that gets a lot of TikTok hits, right? They're like, nudist colony. But really, it was a historic site where in the 1960s, there was the Lazy K Ranch out there. But now it's just a pool and some slabs and another, like a spring holding for water where people used to relax. And then there's still a natural spring that comes out of there. There's an avocado tree. Like, you know how much I love avocados, right? So there's an avocado tree there. And we just hike up there from we park our car right there on Badger Road, Badger Canyon Road. And go in there a little bit, team. Don't park near the actual the street. Come on in. So you'll go down Devil's Canyon Road, Pascal State, and you turn on Badger Canyon Road and go in there a bit, you know, up near where the observatory is, because people's cars sometimes get broken into near the street. But up there, it usually is pretty safe. And then we go on our little hike. It's about a mile in. And me and Amy decided, oh, okay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Let's not take the beaten path. Let's take this the back way out of there. So we started hiking down the way where you usually can't go because there's so many foxtails. You get the furry socks. Have you had the furry socks where you have so many foxtails? Right? But right now it's green grass. So we walked through there and we went up this steep area. And I was like, oh, it dawned on me that this might be a little dangerous for Amy. So I don't want her to fall. You know. So I was like, what you can always do when you're hiking is turn around and go back, right, if you get in a dangerous situation. So we turned around and we decided to just hump it right down the Deer Trail through all these grapevines and black oaks and sycamores and willows and blackberry, wild blackberry. It was cool off across a little stream up and out of there and right back to Cal State San Bernardino, got in our car and left. And a good workout, felt good. So please, please go out there and enjoy some of our wildlife. I know I got on a little tangent, but I got to get our, you know, some kids in San Bernardino have never been out into the wild, and it's right there for us.
It's right
us.
There. Yeah. And I remember actually going around that trail. You're talking about behind Cal State, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's that field, the track field.
Yes.
So I remember I would just walk up down through the track field and behind that hill. Is that the trail?
Yeah, that's the and actual, there's a little preserve there.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would ride my bike there by myself, and it's really nice. I mean,
in the preserve, even all the plants, they've done a good job there. They have their named and identified. So that's one of my favorite things is I go through all the plants and me and Amy like remember and identify them. And then we'd like to take black walnuts, another native plant that has a lot of protein and Native Americans use them. And that usually signifies a grove area where they were living. But you take those black walnuts and we plant them. Right?
Nice.
So, like, you know, there'll be future ones. We may never see that tree grow to produce walnuts, but, you know, those go, they disappear when there's fires and things. So it's good to plant them and get some more out there. And it's fun. Yeah. So you obviously you've been doing a little hiking out back in there. That's good stuff, right?
I'm an outdoorsy. My husband and I, we go mountain biking. We love mountain biking. We go snowboarding. We just love the outdoors, and we take our kids out, and it's always good. It's healthy for you.
So will you be like Juan Figueroa and mountain bike to the city meetings?
Oh, mountain bike to city meetings. Sure, why not?
Yes, if you notice.
So now I'm closer to home now.
If you notice, sometimes he's wearing tennis shoes, right? And like one time even the Sun, or I think it was the Sun or Press Anderson, was a little negative about wearing tennis shoes. But I was like, if you knew the dude, he's biking to work. He's like, you know, doing what we all should be doing. So maybe I've always wanted to go on a hike with him. Maybe we can all set up a big hike with
Let's go.
We won't break the Brown Act. We'll just have a certain number, and we'll get everyone to go out there.
We're just enjoying a nature's walk.
Yeah, Edawana Preserve at San Bernardino County, but still, it's a wonderful hike. If you guys haven't done that one, you can go right up there to the waterfalls and stuff. It's just absolutely beautiful. And then not as many people recognize you. So, like sometimes you got to get out. When people recognize you all the time, sometimes it's kind of cool to get out of the city so you can like be like anonymous a little bit. So, and that's something that you'll learn to love. Yeah, because it's cool to talk to everybody. I love my fans and everything, but sometimes it feels good to just be like relaxed in nature and totally, you know, zoned out and listening to water go by and seeing the animals and, you know, and actually get to nice private conversations with your loved ones. So things like that are cool. We talked about the really fun stuff. Can you talk to me about homelessness? Because, like, you know, right now the big deal is that – Penman brought it up, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that there's an issue with the city attorney and the city manager basically signing a contract or a lawsuit or signing away our ability to deal with using ordinances to deal with homeless situations. I don't know if that's because of the lawsuit from the ACLU where we were like cleaning up encampments as a city, but we would place the notice on a tree instead of actually handing the notice directly to the person that is going to get their belongings removed in 3 days, right? So I understand that they need things too. We need to provide a place for them and mental health assistance for some of them as well. What's your ideas? And you know I've heard them all, so I want to hit.
No, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. Well, you know, council had a workshop, which is a great, great start to.
You saw what the governor said about all those, all right? Like every single city in the state of California sent in a plan, and he said they're all out the window. He goes, no, I'm not accepting any of these plans because it would only solve 2% of the homelessness issue and over 12 years. So, like, we need some bold ideas.
Right. So I don't think the city has a plan yet. The city just started having a workshop to acknowledge it, right? Yeah. So that's the first step. So we need to have a plan, and we need to collectively as a council, mayor, city council, working with the city manager and everyone else. And I really believe we need to have a homelessness task force to have those who have the understanding and ability and capacity to help us address it effectively in this city.
So like an actual city employees?
Yeah, to have, you know, have a homelessness task force with experts, right? Folks who understand the homelessness issue and how to really help us address it. And maybe perhaps look at other communities that have those success stories. And maybe we could bring those success stories and apply it here in our city and not recreate the wheel, but really adjust it to fit our city. But the biggest thing is we need to get them off the streets, right? So we need to have a place for them to be at to provide those services, wraparound services. So we need to make sure that we are building more housing to address the housing crisis because all that's tied to, right, the homelessness and so forth. And so it is a multifaceted issue. It's not something that you could just address overnight, but you need to start taking action as a city. So
basically there was just a new state law passed, and I think it goes in effect in January, where buildings can be repurposed for residential stuff, right? We have to do this. Like building houses is one thing, but like that's for people who have $700,000 to buy a house, right? The people that I know that lived in the 4th Street dormitories, the old sports thing, right? They moved there because they couldn't afford anything else. And one of them was literally homeless. And I remember her on Isle of San Bernardino saying, I don't have no place to go. So she went to that spot on 4th Street and found a place to live, right? And my other friend found a place to live. Well, they got paid for 2 weeks for vouchers for hotels, right? That's over now. Now they don't know how. One friend, he's searching everywhere for a place to live. He has nowhere to go. He's probably going to end up homeless. So, like, whatever we got to do, we got to do it quickly. And, like it kind of feels like we made the problem worse by kicking those people out of there. Now, I know there's still some there. And who knows? Maybe they'll end up moving back in. They're, like, actually they're going door to door or apartment to apartment and putting up boards, right? But we just take those boards off and move back in. How are we going to get more affordable apartments? And that's really what we need, like some type of dorms or something. Like, is there any way we can work on that?
There is a way to work on that. And so, again, we have to have an overall comprehensive plan to build housing. It's a partnership. You can't do it alone. As a city, you have to partner with the county, the state, the federal, all of the entities that could help address it immediately, but you have to work together. So, I mean, it's bottom line, you got to work with everyone. You got to make sure everyone who needs to be at the table to address the issue, in this case, is, you know, the housing crisis.
So the county tends to do things without even notifying us when it comes to homelessness.
We have to have a relationship. Again, that's where I can come
in. And I've called Don Rao out, Supervisor Rao. I've called them out on this. It's just not right for San Bernardino, but hopefully they will be more willing to work with us. But what can we do, like, on our own? Like, because can we designate an area that they could camp in for now? So at least there's a place for, like, because if you go along 30th Street next to the freeway by my house, there's literally like 10, 12, 13 different tents all just lined up on the area where Caltrans goes. And what happens? Officer Gray out of my neighborhood association meeting says all that happens is so Caltrans will send their team over there, and they already know where county is and where city is, so they'll move to the city area until they'll move from there, and then they'll move to the county area until they move from there. So that's where that task force with everybody comes in.
Yes.
But then where do they go? You know, there's zero place to go, and right now Riverside is moving everybody out of the river.
Well, I mean, again, from the workshop, you heard they're trying to plant a location where they're going to build a navigation center, right? At least that
somewhere,
I mean,
where they
exactly
can put them.
There's ways to just fast track now, given with the latest governor's recent legislation, right? To really allow folks to develop quickly, to build shelters
in the
and
care
housing.
Court. So I discussed
there's that too
extensively with Supervisor Rao. They are working right now to build the skeleton of this court while it's being tried out in San Francisco and the few spots that it's doing it preliminary. They're still worried a little bit about the ACLU and how they're going to come at that. But I hope that it will help at least alleviate some of the mental health issues. Now, I've also talked with Assemblymember Ramos about how the state is going to help with this homeless situation, because we need housing, right? Well, he said they did a survey of all the different non-used state pieces of land, and some of those are at Patton State Hospital. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if you led the way in, you know, helping build a new hospital there? Like, I'm talking St. Bernardine style, right? Huge. We need a huge facility to help with the mental health and make it a center to help them. Maybe there'll be police there, probation officers, mental health experts, and then also individual dorms and stuff for them to have a place to live. Because I've heard a wraparound theory. I've heard working together.
Right.
I've heard all these things. And I don't want to be mad at the homeless, but like, I see what the business owners are dealing with.
Understood.
When it comes to in front of, like, so I tell this story because it really hits home. Like, one business owner told the homeless they can't be camping right in front of their place. So every day they come with poo-poo and poop right in front of the door and smear it. And, like, how can you, like, be a business owner when that kind of stuff's happening? Obviously, that person has mental health issues, right? But, like, how do you solve that problem? So that's where I'm hoping the care court will help. But we also
have to have a team,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Again, you have to have a homeless task force to make sure that is a collaborative effort to address that.
So we're gonna, we gotta.
Yes, we are going to do it. We are going to do it.
Lobbying, I will lobby.
As a community is going to make sure this happens. And so there's a lot of efforts to want to address it, and we're going to make it happen.
Please, thank you so much. I don't need to be stuck on this issue, but
it's a crisis.
So
we need
raining.
To address it.
They're in the rain right now. You know, like, I feel so bad, and like, you know, there's homeless pups in the rain. Wouldn't it be nice to have a place where a homeless person can actually go and take their pup? And, like, so a lot of them won't even leave because they don't want to leave their animals. I could never leave my animal.
For a baby.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, let's hope that we can move this along and, like, let's work on that hospital.
We are going to make
talk to Mr. Ramos. Have Mr. Ramos come to your office. Say, Mr. Ramos, can we build
and
a hospital?
And that's why it's so important to have relationship with your fellow colleagues in all levels of government. Because
and
you
I
have
seen,
to have
I seen
that
your flyer with him on there. My favorite politician is James Ramos. He always has been, and he's a great help to our community. He's done passed so many bills that help. Please vote for Mr. Ramos, by the way. And he's done a lot of bills that help suicide, veterans, homelessness. So, like, and of course, Native Americans. Just the stuff he's done there alone, like, should make him a senator of California someday, I'm hoping. But, like, I know he wants to do this kind of stuff. So, if we need a hospital, we need, like, a Marriott-sized thing to help. And maybe we can even help the county in that way, like, maybe we can help others in other areas come to the hospital, and it will be like a way to get a job, clean clothes, things like the Hill Center will be for teens at the Sandals Church. Have you heard about the Hill Center? So over at Sandals Church, Pastor Reinhard and Ken Ramirez from San Manuel, they're making this teen center,
yes,
right?
I heard.
Where they can wash their clothes, right? Where they can get counseling, where they can go and get tutoring, right? All these things that are sometimes hard to access when you're from a poor family.
Yep.
And this is just awesome. I really support them 100%. And, you know,
and leaning on those who are already doing things right,
yes,
making sure that they are supported. So those are, again, it is a collaborative effort throughout this community, and we're a big size community. So why not start working together and identifying who is doing the work and make sure that we are supporting that work?
All right. You made it through the homeless part. Now, what's the good things you see for the future of San Bernardino?
Oh, there's so many good things to
yes
see for the San Bernardino. San
yes
Bernardino is just... And I will describe San Bernardino as a sleeping giant because there's so much that it's just waiting for that right leadership to really launch the city forward, right? And again, it takes a collaboration. It takes effective leadership. It takes effective, really creating progress and just conducting business. Let's get to business. Let's get to work. There's a lot of work to be done, and everyone has a fair share to be part of this progress. And so, you know, I can't do this alone, but being able to work with everyone and not creating these silo walls that exist in the community, just kick those walls down and let's get to work.
So I see, so for example, when Route 66 happens, all the nostalgia comes out. It used to happen for the air shows, but I talked to the director of the San Marino International Airport, and they can't close airspace anymore. So we'll just have smaller events there. But those of other events that could be filled with, like, for example, Festival that Director Gutfeld did, yeah, was incredible.
And
right?
then every year could just grow from that. So making San Bernardino have, you know, an event that's attractive, that becomes a destination for folks to come to, that's important because we have to continue to support that.
And a clean park. So as
100%.
You know, the Blair Park opening for the new mural that the Arts and Historical Preservation Commission actually okayed and picked. There are also ball courts. It looks if you haven't been to Blair Park, team, it is really cool. And there's a little hike up there,
yes,
so you can hike up the trail all the way up Little Mountain. Take a look at our great Arrowhead, Secum Lake. On the agenda last week, they're talking about renaming Secum Lake. I'm not sure how. I already know that the family of the Secums is up in arms, so this is going to be a little bit contentious. I'm not sure who they would name it after if they renamed it. I would love it to be Dr. Hill, of course, you know, one of my favorite teachers, principals, and mentors of all time of my own. But I do understand their points of view. But as long as you set that aside, we're going to redo all of Secum Lake, right, with $9 million. So there's going to be some really good stuff going on
right
there.
Lots of progress with that Secum Lake. And so, I mean, it's just you could see that lake could be such a great, iconic location for future events.
Fishy.
I mean, it could be a whole host
duckies
of things. So, I mean, there's so much potential and looking forward to what, you know, we can do with that
I just did
park
the history of that, like, because I fed ducks there when I was a kid. But I was like, I'm trying to push for a little kiosk where you can put a quarter in or a couple quarters and get some duck food. And you can feed real duck food, not bread, because bread's not good for them. But like the stuff they give out at Lake Arrowhead, have you been up there and fed the ducks? It's awesome. They're like... you've got like 50 kids feeding the ducks.
Or maybe little boats, like rowboats, so you could just, you know what I mean? Exactly.
Night fishing in the 1968, they caught, I messed up when I talked to Damon Alexander. I said they caught a 10-foot, but they caught a 10-pound catfish out of there.
Wow.
Night fishing. So wouldn't that be cool to be able to go to Secum Lake at night? And, you know, and all that stuff's really interesting to me. We do need to do more stuff with our parks. We have some incredible parks.
We do.
But there's a bit of a little bit bad over there at Paris Hill Park. I know we're trying to do more with the Roosevelt Bowl and stuff, but I hear a lot of complaints online about Paris Hill Park and how it's gone down. So hopefully we can steer over that way after Secum and like kind of work that angle. What other fun events would you like to do in the community? Are you interested in like Damon Alexander was bringing onto the agenda city funding of Route 66, so maybe we can add another day in there.
We should, because I remember growing up, I mean, Route 66 used to be a multiple day event, 3-day events. And it was such an iconic, time for folks, families to get together and have fun.
Take pictures. Go to vendors and eat bad food for you.
We should bring that back.
But they have vegetarian vendors now, so you can get some good stuff. My personal view of Route 66 is actually it should be a month-long event where there's – ho-ho style parades of old cars going throughout the city. We put up flags and banners for all over the city, do new murals, make it, an important part, which it already is, of our history. And those benefits, like if the Orange Show at one time could attract 200,000 people, and this is like way back in the 30s and 40s, we can do something similar and make it like a tourist destination for Route 66. Just my idea. I'm hoping that this is the beginning with what Damon's doing. And I'm sure you'll be hearing more about this, right? But 3 days. I like the way you're thinking. Let's increase it because people expect that stuff.
Yes, and I remember that. It was such a great event for folks and families to come out to and enjoy.
Yes, and that's what we need for our kids, right?
Yes.
So our kids go to an event. You take them as a parent to an event. They like the event. They remember eating the fast food, and they
Our
remember
boys
seeing
love
the cars.
Yeah. Yes, they love the cars. They're
and
like, wow.
And then when they're an adult, they bring their kids,
yes,
right? And they support that stuff. So that's how we keep these traditions alive. And much thanks to the Chamber of Commerce for keeping that alive. But I would like the city involved in make it a little bit bigger. Now that's not even counting that events that you could invent, like new events in the future. Like we don't even know what.
Right.
What,
there's so much possibilities that we could do down the road. So I mean, let's continue to keep progress, development for our city, and we'll launch it forward. But we have a lot to do. So we got to make sure the basic foundation of our needs, right, that we're safe and that the roads are fixed and that the lights are on and the downtown development.
Yeah.
And all of those things that we need to make sure that's on track for progress and not steering off paths. So that's very, very important.
So with downtown, like I've watched, I think it's, is it seven? Seven different proposals since I started getting involved. A few got to formality and died away. Formality then died away. Maybe it's too big. Not saying the idea, but maybe breaking it into smaller
Correct.
Portions could be an idea to at least get something done, because the people see this. And I don't allow negative comments about San Bernardino. But it was hard to keep up after the developer
right.
pulled out. So I was like, oh, man, well, I just gave up.
Don't give up.
Well, I mean, it is free speech, so I don't like deleting all of them. But, like, some of them are just so mean, man. Like, but I could see they're yearning for
they're
something
frustrated.
Better. Yeah.
And that's understandable. But you know what? There's probably a better opportunity. So let's just stay on
more workshops.
Like, yes.
Some workshops to see what we're going to do with downtown, right, team?
We got to stay off focus. Yeah. And if this didn't work out, let's just look to the next. Let's keep going. Let's don't stop or don't slow down. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, we're going to win this
game. We're
going to
keep going.
Yes.
Right.
And this is a huge project. So, you know, it may take 20 years to complete everything we want to do there.
And yeah. most projects like that, it does take a stretch of over 10 plus years, right? But you got to start somewhere. And it could be somebody start small, like you said, and anchor, and then start growing off from there. But you also have to make sure that that area is cleared out in order to really bring in the market and some enticement, right? So one thing at a time.
Our history. Mm-hmm. Like, I love my history very much. And with our liaison, Director Gutfeld, for the Arts and Historical Preservation Commission, I've been working on getting our Veterans Monument fixed in front of City Hall. So, I did all the legwork and everything, and, other people inside of City Hall did their legwork, and it looks like we're going to get that Veterans Rock fixed and put the granite inlaid in it so it can't be removed. But there's was more monuments that needed to be fixed, like the Angel at La Placita Park. There's a pioneer monument at the Pioneer Cemetery. And these ones cost a little more money. The Angel itself is $26,000, right? So we may not be able to fix that. We might have to get a new one, but we're just going to discuss those different options. Also, we're looking to get a standing set of funds and make a standing list of monuments that need to be cleaned and need to be fixed. For example, Campo Santo's memorial with 1,500 names of the people interned at that memorial park. The plexiglass is kind of faded and old, right? So you can't really see the names. So like to replace that, $200 or something, right? So these are the kinds of things that we're looking forward to doing. Now, you know, I've been talking to a few council members, and I'm thinking maybe we could make that $50,000 per year. But I don't know. You know, we'll have to see how it works.
We have to look at the overall. Yeah. Make sure that we are fiscally healthy.
This is what I'll explain, what I explained to Director Gutfeld and to all the council members I talked to, that any event that you make will last maybe one lifetime in a memory. Possibly something that continues, like Route 66, will go to the next generation, possibly. But any monument that you fix or you make, you can inscribe your name on there, right? And it can last and help San Bernardino for 300 years, right? Or longer. I hope we could think about that and maybe making a few more monuments in our parks and stuff that will, you know, for things that people want. Like we're going to fix the Martin Luther King statue where the brass was stolen. I had the pictures team. I took the pictures of all the brass plaques, so that's good. But, there's a future for all of our history, too, and I hope you think about that because wouldn't that be cool to have – to have Tran on there in like 300 years, and the historians will be like, yeah. So like, I tell that to all the politicians. I'm like, hey, monuments last a lot longer than any event. So please consider that in your future studies. We have 5 minutes left. See how quickly that went. What would you like to tell the people of San Bernardino before they vote tomorrow?
I would like to say that your vote matters. I even wear a shirt today that said, your vote matters. And it does. So please, please, in the next 24 hours, vote. We need to turn out. We need to show our votes that we all matter, our families matter, and we need to start moving the city forward because it's just waiting. It is just eagerly waiting to launch forward beautifully. We will do it, and it's going to be the shining star of the East. I truly believe it. I feel it in my bones.
Loving San Bernardino. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And, you know, kind of, I don't mean to be hard about homelessness, but, like, it's so important to me and to our community that, we got to think outside the box and work the different angles. And and it seems like you have the right idea and you're heading in the right direction with that. Is there anyone you'd like to thank before we end the show here?
I do. I want to thank my husband who's here. He's been by my side from the beginning and my family and all of my supporters. And it's been a long journey, but, you know, we are almost there to the finish line tomorrow. And very, very excited for the future of this city because the city deserves it. We all deserve it. San Bernardino, you deserve it.
We deserve it. And this is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show with candidate Helen Tran. Go vote tomorrow, team. And we are out of here.
Talking, living the blues. I'm a blues loving man. From my soul into your hands, music makes you wanna dance. I'm a blues loving man. I'm a sinner. Saint. I'm the preacher, don't be late. I'm the blues man, let's make a deal. If you wanna walk and talk the blues, well, sell me your soul. I'm a blues loving man. From my soul into your hands, music makes you wanna dance. I'm a blues loving man. Sell your soul, son, and you'll go far. I'm a blues loving man. From your soul into my hand.
Be safe. Be ADT safe. ADT Alarms will help you make your world a better place. Be baby safe. Be home safe. Be business safe. So protect yourself with ADT and Safe Streets, your local authorized provider. And now, through the end of next month, Safe Streets ADT has a special plan to help you accomplish your safety with all free equipment and low-cost monthly fees. From door and motion sensors to glass shadow alarms, cameras, along with alarms that just don't fail, ADT can help you be safe all through the day and all through the night. Go to BADTSafe.com. That's BADTSafe.com and click on the special button with the code ADTRadio and save. Or text Gabriel Varner at 330-999-0279 to get all your free ADT equipment with low-cost monthly monitoring. Do it now, because there's no better time to be safe with ADT. That's BADTSafe.com.
KCAA Loma Linda. The Legacy KCAA 1050 AM and Express 106.5 FM.
NBC News Radio.